Jackie.
And this is Heather.
And welcome
to Millennial Mom Chatter, your go-to podcast for candid conversations and fresh perspectives.
We're just two millennial moms navigating life one hilarious audio message at a time. Join us for laughs, adventures, and real talk.
Hi. Welcome to Millennial Mom Chatter. We are back again for another podcast. And it took us a lot to get here.
It always does, every week.
I was like not feeling great today, and I just popped some Advil, and here we are. I'm back at it. I feel good.
No, you look good. You look fresh. So as long as, you know, you're starting to feel better, that's all that matters.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with me. I just feel like my body's like falling apart. Like every day it's like I have something, like a new pain or whatever, but it's fine. Yeah. It's the summer blues.
Here we are. Yeah. It's midsummer blues. Yeah.
And my kids need to go back to school. I need to get back into like a workout routine and eating fine and normal, and it's fine.
We'll get back on track. Yeah, for sure. You know, speaking of wellness, have you seen the new flavor of Poppy's orange cream?
I know.
I brought one over there for you to try.
I know. We're going to try it. Jackie's
the... Yeah, so this is their new summer flavor. I'm here for all the summer flavors. Like, it's orange creamsicle, basically, is like the vibe. And I like it.
All right.
It's pretty nostalgic.
Let's see. Yeah, it's like a orange soda and cream soda mix, right?
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it.
It's good. It's pretty good. I mean, I'm a cream soda lover, so. Does Poppy have
one? That's pretty good, too. Yeah. I mean, I've not had too many cream soda.
I don't think so. That would be
they
my
should.
Jam.
Cream soda yeah. flavor would be pretty delicious.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, for sure. No, Poppy's done pretty good with their flavors.
Yeah,
I've been pretty impressed.
I think my favorite is cherry limeade. Delish.
That one's super good. And Dr. Poppy, super delish.
Yes. Well, I don't know. I like the cherry limeade better. But I don't know. Maybe I'm not a Dr. Pepper person. How's your week? How are you feeling?
Good. It's kind of, I don't know. It's sad all at the same time because we won't be hanging out with you guys and seeing your guys' lovely faces every day. So that makes me sad that I'll be heading back to reality. Driving up to North Carolina, but it's good because, you know, it'll get all of us back into our routines, so it's fine. And we still have, yay, a month and a half left of summer, so it's not like I'm having to, like, wake up tomorrow and set an alarm and get back into the school grind, so it's good. It's fine.
Yeah. No, it'll be sad, but it'll be good. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
And we see each other in 5 months?
Yeah.
Right?
Let's see.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, we see each other 5 months. We're going to do Christmas again and each go on our cruises. It'll be good.
Yeah.
We have five months away. We can make it.
Yeah, we can do hard things.
We can do it. All right, so today we're going to talk about something. First thing's controversial. So the other day I saw a couple that was like, who's going to get the bill tonight? And they were married. And I thought that's so wild, like, that married couples don't share bank accounts. Like, you imagine, like, going to dinner and being like, hey, like, who's going to get the bill tonight? Or, like, I'll Zelle you or Cash App you. Yeah. Like, I find that so odd.
No, especially in a married couple? No.
No. Very weird. So, anyways, I looked up facts about it because I was like, is this normal? Like, am I the weird one, right? That, like, we share everything. Am I the weird one? I don't know. So, it says, the practice of couples sharing bank accounts varies widely, influenced by factors such as age, marital status, and financial habits. Some of the things that differentiate it is, so one of the facts is, in 2021, a survey by Bank of America found that 28% of couples keep their finances completely separate.
That's wild.
Right. Very. Like, that's a, to me, that's a pretty high percentage that you don't even have, like, one bank account together.
Yeah.
So then they found out that 45% shared some accounts together, and 26% shared all their finances.
Wow. So we're in, like, the smaller group?
We are in the smaller group.
That's wild. That kind of blows my mind, because I thought we were the normal ones, to be, like, married couples sharing everything together.
Apparently not.
No, we're just
apparently we are the odd ones. But I feel like, I don't know. I feel like if you marry somebody, like, you should trust them with, like, everything at that point. Like, if you don't trust them, maybe you shouldn't get married. Right?
Yeah, like, what do you have to hide? Like, why are you, if you can't share your financial information with somebody, then you have no reason to be in such an intimate relationship, I feel like. Like, you shouldn't have any secrets. There shouldn't feel like there anything needs to be hidden.
Correct. I'd be curious if these couples that have their finances completely separate, how much do they know about each other's finances? Like, do they know how much they make? Do they know how much are in their bank accounts? Like, do they share that stuff? Or is it just, like, literally completely separate? Like, they don't talk about money.
Or coming into a relationship with debt. Like, that'd be pretty scary, too. Like, to not know if this person's coming in with a ton of student loans or, you know, credit card debt, like something that could negatively affect them when signing up for a mortgage. So that's pretty scary.
So it said, marriage, obviously married couples are more likely to share a bank account than unmarried. That's pretty, like, standard. So according to a 2018 survey by Ascent, 77% of married couples shared at least one bank account, while only 48% of unmarried couples living together did so. Which I find, if you're not married, like, I never shared a bank account before I was married.
Same. Yeah. No, that makes, like, sense. I wouldn't think that you would have to share a burden or an issue if you're not married. Like, you're not legally bound to this person's debt, so that's fine. Go ahead and keep your own bank account.
But that is a pretty high number that 48% of people do share a bank account. Like, they have at least one account together while they're not married.
Yeah. It is pretty wild, though.
That's pretty wild since that married is, like, a high percentage that they don't even have.
They don't share. Yeah. So maybe, I wonder if there's, like, a shift.
We got it backwards here.
Oh.
The thing I could think, this is where I see it might come into play, is a lot of married couples before, well, I'm sorry, a lot of unmarried couples now live together.
Yes.
So maybe they dump into that account to, like, pull from out, like, the mortgage or the rent and all that.
Yeah, because that seems to be the more popular trend as well, is not getting married, but having everything else together.
Yes.
Like, that's, like, a new thing too. So,
which doesn't make any sense to me, but it's fine. So it says millennials and Gen Z are more likely to keep separate accounts compared to the older generations. The survey found that 49% of millennials maintain separate accounts compared to 37% Gen Xers and 31% baby boomers, which I find that 31% of baby boomers is pretty interesting because I feel like a lot of them are stay-at-home moms and, like, what do you mean they didn't share bank accounts?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause like you said, typically they were homemakers. Yeah. We didn't have a lot of women in the workforce back in the day.
Yeah. Well, the last little fact I got from it, because I was just so interested, because I was like, this is just so odd. I think it takes, like, all romance out of the relationship of, like...
Zell me for those chicken nuggets, babe.
Yeah. Like, you got dinner last time, I'll get it this time. Like, I don't know. I just don't get it, but whatever. Okay, so 2019 survey by Policy Genius found that 20% of couples keep their finances completely secret.
Ooh, I don't like that.
No, like...
Like, what are you hiding?
I think they know it might be a area of argument, and they just keep it secret. But if that is something that's, like, that, you know, like, you know it's going to be an argument, I feel like you just shouldn't be together.
No, because, like, that's one of the things that takes... working on a marriage, right? Like, if you can't navigate a conversation about finances, then how can you navigate a conversation about something truly difficult? Like, you know, stepping out of a marriage, having children, like real conflict. So if, like, you have to feel like finances need to be kept a secret, what else are you hiding?
Mm-hmm. Oh, the last thing, sorry. So the reasons for separate accounts is 31% financial independence. They want to feel like they're independent. And I feel like that comes from the woman. I don't know why. I just feel like it would come from the woman. And then the other reason is avoiding conflicts over money, arguing. And then the other is having different spending habits. So they don't want them to know that they are spending, you know, $4,000 on the Gucci bag.
Yeah.
That's my guess. I just don't know. This whole topic blows my mind. And I just don't understand it. I think that's just very complicated. Like, how do you, is it that the man pays all of the bills, like mortgage, and does all these things? And then the woman just does her own thing? So yeah, I just don't understand the, I can't fathom how that works. It just sounds very complicated to have to be like, you owe me $1,200 for rent this month. Like, make sure to cash out me.
No, it's going to be really difficult to navigate anything like for that entire month of finances. And then how do you decide to move forward on like purchasing a house or having kids? Like, I just
gonna
like,
say,
these are
having
really
kids
hard conversations.
Is complicated.
Yeah.
Like, who's supposed to pay for their clothes?
Yeah. Like, who's buying the diapers? Like, are we doing rock, paper, scissors to see who has to cash out for the diapers each month? Like,
yeah. I don't get it. But I looked at marriage like facts, because so Jackie and I have had this conversation of like, we feel like less people, like millennials age wise, are getting divorced. And we know that they're waiting later to get married, more than ever. Like, now it's like normal for you to be 36 on your first marriage. So we think that divorce rates are going to get better, because people are like really like, if you can't get it right getting married at 36, then I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, you've waited so long because to set it up, set your career up, do all the things, and you still end up divorcing 5 years from then. I don't know.
Yeah. That may not be anything to do with you. Like, that's going to be like an internal problem probably. Like,
yes.
Because we technically are more mature, we're more established financially, career-wise, possibly even a house or something in play if we've waited.
Right.
So
I looked up statistics because I wanted to be like, is this something we're just thinking that people are actually remaining married? Or is it just an illusion? Because less people are getting married. So millennials are marrying later than previous generations. The median age for first marriages in the U.S. is now 30 for men and 28 for women, compared to the 23 and 20, respectively, in 1960.
That's wild.
So I actually am so impressed by that number. And I think that, like, the southern states are really holding up that percentage, because I guarantee you that the age range, if you would have done for a big city, would be higher than 28 for women.
Yes, I agree.
So I think like the younger, like, you know, Hannah from Alabama or Sarah from Georgia that are getting married at 20 are helping this statistic.
Yeah, they're keeping that statistic alive for sure.
Because I feel like if you were to go to like Miami or New York or LA, that average is going to be wildly different.
Yeah, because they're going to honestly be holding on to that lifestyle and their career, and they might wait even longer. And then they're going to have the influence of their friends and their network and their coworkers. And so if no one in their group is sitting down getting married and mm-hmm. having kids, that's going to keep them from wanting to jump into that lifestyle as well. Whereas, like you mentioned, girls maybe in the southern states, they're a little bit more homely. They have the influence from their parents and their friends, and they might be skewing our statistic of these ages.
For sure. I feel like I was still impressed by that number because it doesn't seem that old. I mean, it definitely has gone up. Me and you beat that statistic.
Yes.
But
we are
We are younger than that, but it's fine. Yeah. I'm one of those people that I'm holding up that 28 for women.
Yes, you are. Yeah.
Because I got married at the ripe age of 19 years old. So 67.
With no divorce. Mention that too.
I know. Like, no divorce.
No divorce. Like, this is first marriage and only marriage.
Yeah,
like,
12 years, baby. So 66% of married couples have lived together before getting married. We also are not part of that statistic.
We are the odds on this one too. Like, and I think this is different
too. Neither one of us
got to live with our partners before marrying
them. What's your thought on that?
I kind of wish I had had a chance to live with Tony prior to marrying him. Just because I think it adds like a little bit of normalcy to it. I never got that. Like, us getting married was the first time I ever like sat down on the couch and watched a movie with him. Like the normal stuff. Like, babe, let me cook dinner for you. Like, don't worry about the laundry. I've got it. Like, we never did that. Like, we always were just in like the dating. It was basically dating all through our engagement and everything. So I feel like it would have been cool. Like, I'm romanticizing what you see on TV of like what it looks like to live together and like thinking about what that would have been.
But don't you feel that made it special for the marriage?
It did. It certainly did. Cause it made it very like baby honeymooner, like really cute, where it was like we got to buy our first welcome mat, our first potted plants together. We got to pick out the bedroom set. So it really did make it kind of a cute experience where we didn't move just from a couple into a marriage home. Like, we really got to have that huge moment of change together.
Yeah. I am for married couples not living together before they're married. I think that's what makes a marriage special, is like becoming one and like living together and doing things together. Because I feel like if you do that beforehand, you always ask those couples that have lived together like 3 years before they get married, and you're like, how's married life? They're like, the same.
Oh, that's true. That's a good point.
You know, like, there's no like difference. They're like, yeah, we're already living married, basically. Like, we just, like, signed papers.
No, that's actually a really good point.
And I feel like it almost, like, takes away the special, like, becoming one. I don't know.
No, there's a... There's
I don't know. Maybe I'm old school.
No, because that's true, though. Like, Tony and I got to experience that. You know, we bought our first Christmas tree together. We never got to do that. It was very special to do all that stuff as a married couple for the first time ever.
Yeah. And it's special because it's, like, you're married. It's not like... This is my girlfriend.
And eventually she might get kicked to the curb. And I might have to do this experience with someone else. Like,
exactly. All right. So it says that percentage of millennials who are married is lower compared to previous generations at the same age. Approximately 44% of millennials were married as of 2019 compared to 53% of Gen Xers and 61% of baby boomers. So we already know that. Less people are getting married. More commitment issues. I think the dating pool out there is just terrible. Yes.
I bet. I mean, you can honestly ask any single person you know, and they're all going to tell you dating is hard these days. It's awful. It's painful. Yeah. It's miserable. The apps are awful. The bar scene is awful. So I just couldn't imagine being out there in my 20s or early 30s trying to find Mr. Right now. I feel bad for you girls. I hope you find them. Hang in there. Stay strong. Mr. Right is there for you somewhere.
Yeah, the quality of people out there now are just, like, there's not many, like, good, genuine people anymore. And so I'm so happy I'm not in the dating world right now because it's hard out there. It's hard.
But why do you think it is?
It's a rough one.
Do you think men are also intentionally waiting longer to get married? Because I feel like it's easy to picture women wanting to wait longer because now we get the pivot has changed where we're focused on careers. We're not like hyper fixated on finding a man, getting behind the kitchen stove and making babies. Like, that's not how our society is anymore. Yeah. So do you think men also are trying to like hold off a little bit? Or do you think this is just us women kind of, you know, we're breaking through the glass ceiling. We're finally making changes in society. And now, like...
I mean, I could see it being women. I just think men are, like, really in this, like, playboy era of just, like, I want to live my best life. And, like, they want to sleep around and they want to do the things, right? That's how we... I don't know.
No, I could see
that.
That's
kind of how I... Yeah. I feel like it's a... I feel like if they find the right woman... they will settle down, right?
Yep.
Like, I feel like they will. So I do think women are the ones that are not ready to settle down as early.
Yes.
Because I feel like guys have always been a little bit the same way of like, until they find the right woman, they're just all over the place.
For sure. Yeah.
They don't know what they want. They don't, they're just dating around, for fun. But yeah, I guess I would say it probably is the women.
Yeah. Cause I feel like we naturally have a pressure on ourselves. Just obviously old society, you know, you have the 50s Mrs. Homemaker. That's kind of like the pressure of what a woman looks like. But then we also have our internal clock.
So the economic instability and high student debt, loan debt, are significant factors in delaying marriage among millennials.
Mm. I already have a huge opinion about student loan debt anyways. So it's like, I honestly think like, for one, we're making a mistake. This group of people that are trying to like go off to university that's already out of reach for their families and themselves, you've already made a mistake. Like, unless you're planning on becoming a doctor to be able to pay back all that student loan debt, I'm just like, oh, like pick a closer to university, you know, pick something that's your in-state tuition, something like that, like
community college,
and then transfer over to a four-year school. So for me, I'm just like, so to say I don't want to get married because I'm still in university or I'm about to have to pay off my $100,000 student loan debt is like, ugh, like you did this to yourself. There was a better alternative available to you and you chose to put this burden on yourself.
Yeah. And that's why you went to the military.
Yeah. And I got my bachelor degree for free. Well, not for free. I worked very hard to earn that bachelor's degree.
Yeah. But that was the route you chose. You didn't want student debt and you did a great job.
And I came into my marriage debt-free, so I didn't bring a burden into our relationship. So I feel like that put us in a financial place of like, now I don't have anything to hide from him. I'm not coming with something that's going to be any sort of resentment or a financial conflict that would cause us to fight. Because I think that's one of the top statistics too, is that what do couples fight about? And it's finances. But I'm like, maybe if we handled them better, we wouldn't be fighting about them. Or if we didn't hide them and we had more transparency with our finances, we wouldn't have anything to fight about.
Yeah, and the fact that everyone's getting married older, you are having more area of error in your finances, right? So like how much debt, say you get married at 21, like really how much debt can you come into the marriage, right?
You shouldn't have much.
Right.
If you've got like a car or a credit card, but you shouldn't have much.
Right.
Like you shouldn't be coming at the 100 grand debt. Like.
Right. And if you're getting married at 36, you've given yourself many years to like make mistakes and come in with debt.
Yeah.
So.
But you also should be maturing in a place that like, I'm going to work on this.
Yes, but we live in a society of debt.
That's true.
So
I'm being too hard on our generation.
Yeah.
I have high expectations for us. Like.
Yeah, we don't live in a generation anymore that, like, people don't have debt. I mean, you literally have to have debt to have good credit.
Yes.
Which is mind-boggling to me. My friend Amanda, she is building her house on land they had bought. And she has owned everything that she's ever had, like, right out. So it's been a mission for her to get a mortgage because they're like, well, you don't have enough credit history. And she's like, yeah, because I pay everything in cash.
Yeah. But she's basically being punished for being financially savvy.
Yes. So she's like, it's terrible because like, they're like, they don't have an answer for me. I'm like, why? Like, I have literally paid everything for cash and I have no debt. But you're telling me like, maybe you can't get your loan. And she's only, like, she paid half of her house outright, like, all the building materials and everything. She just needs, like, a small chunk. I think it's, like, 40 grand or 30 grand. So, like, she's not asking for much. You know what I mean? She's, like, shown proof of income and all that. And they finally gave it to her, but she's, like, she had to bend over backwards to, like, prove that she is a responsible adult, even though she has zero debt. So that's pretty responsible, but yeah, it's wild how our whole credit system works and all of that. Like, you know, you really do have to be in debt to show that you can pay the debt back.
Yeah,
I understand the concept, but like if somebody can prove to you that they're, you know, 30 something years old, they've never had debt, and they show you proof of income, then why not give them a chance?
Yeah, they just, financial institutions want to see payment history. So if you got no payment history, they really have nothing to trust you on, though. There's nothing on paper that shows we can trust you.
Yeah, I mean, she's had credit card and stuff and paid them back, but she just doesn't have, like, a mortgage or a car on her record. And so that's why they don't like it. But it's fine. It's
hard.
It's the society we live in now. So, actually, this is the most important statistic out of it all. Millennials have a lower divorce rate compared to previous generations. Studies suggest that millennials are 18% less likely to get divorced compared to baby boomers. So we've dropped the divorce rate by 18%.
Go us. I love that.
Yeah. So
that makes me feel optimistic for our marriages.
Yeah. I think it's like I said, it's like, how can you, I feel like you've got to surely know who you want to marry, right? If you wait till you're 36 to have, like, to start the process of settling down. Like, you know who you are. You're in your career.
You've gotten to be more financially stable. Yeah, you've kind of, like, checked all your boxes of, like, you know, some of your life goals for next step. So I imagine this is going to be an easier process to be like, oh, okay, I've already knocked out my degree. I've gotten a career. I bought a car. I rent an apartment. I'm ready to, like, bring the misses into my life. And I feel like then you've gotten rid of all the, like, the bad habits of the college guys. Like, all that stuff is gone. So now you're going to be a more, like, mature person as well. Because, like, what's the age of maturity for men these days? I mean, they're not maturing at 16. 40,
probably.
Yeah. So maybe it's a good thing that we're waiting. Because then they're not going to, like, not to blame all of, like, the faults of the marriage system on men. But, like, men need time to mature and get, you know, stuff like that out of their systems as well. So it's like, let them get their feet on the ground, get a job, get some more brain cells, and then put a ring on someone's finger.
Yeah, it's just the problem is, like, the longer you wait also, the more you get in your own habits, I find. Like, you know, you're not going to want somebody to change you. Like, you're in your rhythm. And then the older you are to have kids, and then, I don't know. I just feel like you're not willing to, like, bend.
Oh, for sure.
The older
yeah.
you are.
Like right now I'm 36 years old and like to break all the habits that I have would be pretty painful. Like to start all over again and
yeah, like imagine at your age now.
Intertwine my life with somebody else's right now for the first time ever. It's not going to be fun. We're going to have kinks. We might have fights. Like it's going to be a little bit like disruptive for both of us.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's showing that divorce rates are going, you know, they're dropping. But at the same time, less people are getting married, too.
Yeah.
And less people are having kids. I don't know.
But I know we had talked about this before, too. I think our generation of married couples are being a little bit more selfish.
Yes.
We're allowing ourselves to have me time. We're going on date nights with our partners. We're going on vacations. We're making ourselves more of a priority because we're more aware of it. Mm-hmm. And I look back at my parents and I'm like, I feel like they didn't go on date nights.
No, mine either.
Like they didn't treat themselves. So like they are in a healthy marriage. Like they're still married, you know, going strong. But I do feel bad that their marriage looked differently than what I can look at my friends and I's marriage. Like where we all are having fun with our partners. We're going on dates and we can really celebrate the love that we have with our partners. And I feel like it just looked differently for the older generation.
No, it for sure did. And I think that's why we will be more successful in the long run is because we do nurture our marriage and, you know, people are taking the vacations and doing the things because I feel like our parents' generation, like luckily both of our parents are still married, but our parents' generation, like all my friends, like they focus so much on the kids that by the time their kids get older and end up leaving the nest, you know, going to college or whatever, they kind of like look each other and like, who are you? Like they were so yeah. much in this cycle of doing, you know, the just doing the daily life, right? Like waking up, I go to work, you know, you take the kids to school, we get back home, homework, we eat dinner, like you get in this cycle and you kind of are just each other's like partner, but like you're not friends, you know, like you're not,
no.
you don't just hang out. And so I think that our parents' generation, like, saw each other when they let, you know, the kids left, and they're just like, who are you? And then they kind of rediscover who they are, and then they're different
and they realize
people.
They don't like each other. Yeah.
And
they
so
almost, like, we're just like living in like and passing by, like just roommates, right. like looking out for the kids, and that's it.
Yeah. So I think our generation is going to be better about like really keeping that relationship fresh and like still being friends and enjoying each other's time better. And I think that will, it'll remain to be a high percentage of millennials that remain married.
I agree. I think that's going to be rock solid.
Yeah.
Because like you mentioned, we're the number one thing. We're nurturing our relationships with our partners. So I think that's going to be the big key.
Yeah. I just can't, I just don't know how I feel about the trend of, like, if you get married later, you also have kids later. So I don't know how much I get behind the trend, because I think that's how it's spiraling of, like, fertility issues and all the things. Because now you've been on birth control for 15 years, you know, 20 years before you've started to have kids. And your body is just wrecked.
No, and then, I mean, there's so much that comes into play for that, too. So, of course, we've got some more stats to support that as well. But why are millennials waiting so long to have kids? Like, this is, like, I mean, we're basically snowballing. We're waiting to, like, failure to launch. We're not leaving our parents' houses. We're waiting a super long time to get married. And then, therefore, now we're having kids way later in life. And it kind of comes back to economic problems. So we have here that approximately 43 million Americans have student loan debt, which you basically tapped into a little bit with why we're not getting married as well. The average student loan debt is approximately $37,000. And that's basically, like, affecting their ability to start a family. Like, if you're already paying off student loans every month, then where's your extra income going to go for formula, diapers, a crib, all that? So it's really forcing people to, like, halt, like, and not be able to start a family. The other one, too, that was mentioned was housing costs. Many millennials struggle to afford homes, with about 66% of millennial renters citing affordability as a reason for not buying a home, which we see. We definitely see that with, like, the housing market in the past couple years. Everything's inflated. Everything's super expensive. And getting a mortgage is out of reach for some people. So now they're just basically paying a really high rent. So they're not going to have a kid. They can't afford it.
So what do you think? I feel like kids can be as little and as much as you want. I think that the excuse of, like, you know, I live in an apartment, so I can't have a kid, I feel like that's just, like, false, right? I feel like I would rather live under my means and live, like, very, you know, humbly, like, in a two-bedroom apartment or one-bedroom apartment, and have my baby be in the room with us or something, and have a family, then wait until I'm old.
Yeah, and I think, too, speaking as a woman, I definitely did not want to wait till I was, like, in my late 30s to start having children, just because I know that's going to take a toll. My fertility is going to be decreased at that point. So I just know that, like, not only am I putting myself in a situation health-wise, but then what if we don't get pregnant right away? And now I'm going to have to resort to scientific measures, which are very costly and expensive, and then that's going to prolong having kids even more. So I think, like you mentioned, just, like, living within your means and just trying to maybe reevaluate your budget as a couple, having a child should be an option. Like, it should be something you can figure out. Like,
I agree. I think that, and a lot of people, I feel like when I see them make that excuse, they look like normal people that, like, they go out to dinner and they do all the things and they have a house. And I'm like, what are you waiting for? Like, what is the real reason you're waiting for? Do we feel like that percentage is just people making an excuse?
To a certain extent, I actually do believe there are people using that as an excuse.
Yeah.
Because there's other things, too. Like, one of the – it's a little laughable for me, at least. Like, I'm curious to hear what you think. But one of the reasons a very small percentage of people believe that they're not having children because they don't like the impact that it has on the earth – or, like, global warming or any of that. So environmental factors. So they're basically saying our Earth is so populated, they are choosing not to have children to not overpopulate our planet. So I'm just like, no. I honestly think like that is an example of an excuse for people not wanting to admit that maybe I'm too selfish to have kids. I really don't want to like allot time or money or effort into someone other than myself. So I'm going to just say it's for environmental reasons that I'm not having children or bringing more people into our world. Like, and I'm just like, I don't buy it.
Yeah. That, no, I don't buy it either. That's like, I don't believe there's like really many people doing that. Like, you know, like, oh, I've never heard somebody give me that excuse of, oh, because of the environment.
Like, or then there's people too, like, where they're like, go adopt a child from a more, you know, lower income country, or they try to use that as an excuse too. And I'm like, okay, like, get off your high horse and go and adopt that child then. Like, you go ahead and do that.
Correct.
Like, so I just feel like, to me, it sounds like an excuse to not sound like a mean, selfish person, to like sound good for not having kids.
Right.
People tend to make excuses, and that's just going to be their reasoning behind not wanting to have a kid or admitting that they don't want to have a kid.
Yeah. Yeah, because I feel like, okay, say your real excuse is environmental, which is such a joke, but whatever. Like, just say that is your real excuse. Then that doesn't mean you can't have a kid. Then go adopt a kid. Like, go adopt a kid and have a family. Like I just don't see how that's an excuse to having a family.
Yeah.
You know,
but
what
I would
mean?
Say, like, generally speaking, for the polls that I was reading about, it's the high cost of living, and that's like one of the big things that people are using as a reasoning for not wanting to start families. Which I guess we're getting to see that. There's been an inflation. You know, groceries cost more, houses cost more. So I think a lot of people are scared of that, and they're stalling. Yeah. But then I just think about all the, I'm sure you know girls too, like, where they're literally in their 30s and they've not started having children yet, and they basically think that it'll be okay, I'll have kids when I'm in my 40s, and it just makes me sad and nervous for them.
Yeah, because they're those same people that are like trying IVF at 38, 40 years old,
and then it's too expensive.
And that's expensive.
Yes.
It's like, it's more expensive to wait, guys.
Because that was the other thing too.
Just do it.
There's like a statistic basically stating that fertility treatments are scaring people away from having kids. But I'm like, it's like you're going in a circle. Like, if you're going to wait, then you might face the possibility that you'd have to rely on fertility treatments. So you can't think of that when you're in your prime years of being able to have kids. Like, that's not a factor. Like, if you were trying to have children in the healthy period of your life, in the young, like, high egg producing stage of life, then the likelihood of that is less than if you waited till you were in the geriatric pregnancy age of 35.
Yeah. And like I said, I truly believe, like, you can make having kids expensive or as, you know, cheap as you want. You really can. Like, I think diapers, obviously you have to, right? But like, you can breastfeed, and you can there's things you can do to make like it not that expensive. You know what I mean?
For sure.
Like, you're not, a kid is not $500 or $600 a month, you know, if you do it properly and like take the time to budget and look for the deals, and like, you don't have to. It doesn't have to be super expensive. It doesn't have to be.
No. And then one of the other conflicts that women are facing too in wanting to decide whether or not to have children is career prioritization and childcare costs. I mean, honestly, like, daycare does cost a fortune. So to think about putting your career on pause to be a stay-at-home mom or staying in the workforce and hoping that your paycheck is big enough to cover daycare costs, like, that is pretty daunting.
Yeah. But yeah. Daycare is crazy, and that's why me and you didn't do it.
Yeah, hence where we are where we are. Like,
yeah, literally. Yeah, I just, it's wild, like, how all of this, like, it all goes together, because it's like, now it's like, why do I think the dating pool is the way it is, and like, human beings are just becoming selfish, not nice people, is because there's less stay-at-home moms and less like parents involved in their kids' lives because they decided to both do the career route and both, you know, kind of sacrifice their time at home. That could be a controversial statement, but I do think that the progression of women making careers and like really being the CEOs and all that has been the same progression of people just not like declining.
No, for sure. Like as a society, I feel like that's a pretty, that's a fair statement to say. Like our kids are the ones being affected by these choices. And so yes. Now, like, who is looking out for them? Who are they being influenced by if mom and dad are at work? Like, they're going to rely mm-hmm. on what they get from social media and YouTube. And so those are their choices that they're making. And, like, yes. We're seeing that effect. Like, that's taking place now in schools where they learn these behaviors online and they're going to take it to school. And the parents are going to have no idea that this stuff is happening because they're not there. And it's not that they're intentionally not trying to be involved in their kids' lives, but they just chose. They prioritize then their careers over their kids. And that's why, like, yeah. I think you and I can relate in the sentiment that, like, being stay-at-home moms is huge for our kids. Like, we're really being yes. able to, like, pour into them, create just great human beings that we hope can, like, bring and offer something to the world when they're grown-ups as well. So I feel like just nurturing the relationships with our kids could lead to something good in what we're seeing in today's society.
I really hope so. I really hope that, like, our sacrifice to do this is not tainted by society around them, like, influencing them. Because, I don't know, I'm nervous for those high school years. I'm hoping that we create, like, solid kids and they're established and they know who they are. But it's nerve-wracking, like, when they get to be like adults, like what kind of humans did we create?
Yeah, well, like, we did this. We put these people into the world. Like, and I'm hoping that I think you and I kind of have similar values in the way that we're going to try to give our kids some good tools so that they yeah. become good adults and good human beings. So that's all we can really do, and just focus on that each day. And just like you said, we sacrificed careers to be able to be these people for our kids. So,
yeah. And it is a sacrifice sometimes.
Yes, it is.
It really feels like a sacrifice.
But it's good. It's for the greater good.
It is for the greater good. And I will never regret it.
Yeah.
I will never think back on it and be like, I should have been the CEO, you know?
No.
Or I should have been this. I will forever be grateful and thankful that I was able to stay home and be there for them.
No, for sure. And I think our kids appreciate us for that. Like, you can tell when they're happy to see us and not be stuck in a daycare facility before school and after school. Like, that's not fun.
Yeah.
Like, to a certain point, these kids, they're going to feel alone. Their lives are going to feel rushed. So I feel like they really get that sense of love and care, you know, and the warmth of a home. And it's not just an empty house where they have to figure out adulting at a young age.
Yeah. And like just being there for them, like, you know, like at their school performances or their field trips or whatever. Like, I see, you know, the kids looking for their parents in the audience. Like, did my mom show up today? You know,
that's and so then, sad.
You know, I know these, I know some of the parents and I'm like, I know they didn't show up because I don't see them. And so I ended up taking a video and like sending it to them. And it's not that I'm like, it's not that the mom is doing anything wrong, right? You know, like she's got to make ends meet and do all the things. But like, if I can't sacrifice to be that parent that is there for my kid, then I will.
Yep.
You know, like, and I'm blessed that I can do that. So I will do that.
Oh, yeah. So and like, we can definitely not the, say that we're both very grateful that our husbands are in positions in their careers that we are financially stable enough to then step back, and that you and I can yes. be at home and it's okay for our families.
Yeah. So. And I know that's not the case for everyone, right? Like that's 100% not the case. Like there's some people that have to work and that's okay. Like they're doing the best they can. I just think there's less of, nowadays everybody's money hungry. And so like, I know plenty of people that, you know, each spouse makes, you know,
plenty,
quite a bit of money. Yeah. And they definitely could do a stay-at-home parent kind of vibe. And they don't. And they choose not to because they what's the next best thing? What can I invest in? What can I, it's always going to be like, what, how much more can I make?
Oh, 100%. You know? And I feel like we can all think of people in our lives that are like that. And then it's sad because who's getting hurt at the end of the day from these choices? It's the kids.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So it's fine. It is what it is. And we're just going to hope we make good humans. Yeah. And our kids are not part of that dating pool. That's terrible.
Yes, for sure. No, but honestly, like if
that
these
are
stats,
swiping on Hinge at 36. Yeah,
but hopefully like with these stats, with these trends, hopefully they just keep moving forward and then the next generation can keep on growing as well. So like we start to navigate like, you know, navigating career choices, college choices, marital choices, and then they can just have healthy relationships and not feel like they have to wait till they're like, hopefully it doesn't go in the opposite direction where they're like waiting till they're 40 to do these things.
I was going to say, so it keeps trending. Do we think it's going to keep trending? Where it's like, it just keeps getting older and older.
I hope not. Cause I don't want that for our kids. I don't want them to have to wait till they're like 40 before they start a family. And then they're having to like,
gosh, then we're old.
Yeah. And then they, you know, think about it too. Like high school graduation, like, they're going to have to use a cane to get around. You know, they're not going to be able to throw a basketball with their grandkids. Like, it's just sad. Yeah. Like, I think about all the opportunities I had with my parents and my grandparents that they came to, like, my wedding, you know, just the simple things. And or to have a dance, you know, with my grandpa. I just couldn't imagine then being so old that you put yourself in a position that, like, you might not be there. Like, just years of life. You may not exist. Like, so I hope it doesn't turn that way.
Yeah, because like even if you have kids at 35 and 35, you know, you're going to be 70 with like your first grandchild.
That's wild. Like that's too old.
That's like, that's like my mom was, how old is my mom? My mom was 47, 46.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I feel like being in your like 40s and 50s is like normal for like
your first grandchild for sure, because they're pretty you know, just average speaking here is they're going to be able-bodied, they're going to be able to bend down and pick up their grandchild, so that's the goal, right? Like you don't want to be so old, like I feel bad even talking about this, but just like you're so damaged that you're not even able to enjoy your life with your children, your grandchildren, and have all those life experiences. Because even for myself, I want that. I look forward to being able to celebrate those moments with my kids. And then I would feel really guilty if I selfishly stalled and then missed out. And now I'm not around for my people because I've waited too long. Sure.
No, I for sure agree. And it's like my grandma, when I had Rylan, was 69.
Yeah.
Like, and that was that her great grandson was born.
Yeah.
So like, and so she's still here and gonna possibly be moving in our backyard. Not possibly, is going to be moving in our backyard, and can be there for my kids. Like, yeah, she's not gonna be swinging them around.
No, but
doing
no
all
one
the
would
things,
expect
she's
that from
here
great
for
grandma.
Them. Yeah, but she's here for them, you know?
For sure.
She's present in their lives. She, you know, has conversations with them and hangs out with them. And so I just, it's definitely interesting to see as time goes on, does this trend continue where everyone's like now, you know, now the average marriage rate is 35 for women, you know? Like, is that going to just continue to rise? Or is the, like, you know, Southern people are going to keep it afloat where we're still getting married super young.
I don't know. And I think, too, like we can influence those values in our kids. So maybe if our kids see that, like, oh, well, I'm pretty sure my mom and dad got married at not a young age, but like, you know, a normal childbearing age.
Yeah.
Like, hey, this was great. Like, I love what my parents had. I love what they did. They got to build careers and a home for us, and it felt safe and we felt nurtured. And then now they're still getting to enjoy their lives and be around for us if we choose to do that. So maybe like they can see us as like positive role models at like an appropriate stage to get married and not want to wait. So hopefully they have lots of influence like that.
That's the hope. That is the hope. Well, thanks for chatting.
Yeah.
We've had this this like topic in our mind of just like, what is happening?
Yeah, just because everything's trending to like just take so much longer. So it's been such an interesting topic to see that not only it, like it all snowballs. So it's not only like, you know, women waiting longer to date or anything like that. It's literally all of it. Houses, waiting to get married, waiting to have kids. It all just snowballs together.
Yeah.
So it's wild.
It is. It is. And it'll be great to see the future. And if you're sharing your, if you're not sharing a bank account with your husband, then you need to get on board.
Yeah. Or even just like comment below and let us know like your reasoning behind.
Yeah. I want to know.
Why you guys don't share a bank account or why you feel like it's an efficient system to like split the bills, split the responsibility and like, you know, why you feel like it works for you guys.
Yeah. We need to put like a poll on Instagram and just be like, why?
Yeah.
Why do you do this? Like, what's the reasoning? Are we missing something? Like, I would love to know.
Yeah, for sure. Because what are we missing? Clearly, like, there's another side of this argument. I don't know. And we want to know why. Like,
yeah. Well, thanks for listening. And be sure to like,
comment,
and follow.
And subscribe.
We are on all platforms.
Yes, we are.
So, anyways, we will chat next week.
Bye.